Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Samach Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 6 lines from the top of Daf Samach Tes. Before we actually continue learning the Gemara, we have a star that you'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that will draw our attention back to Samach Ches Omid Beis. And even before we focus on that, let us just glance at our topic heading, the Nosei, that you see on the side of the Gemara. Ho'iver b'shogeg, someone who violates a transgression, a Torah precept, unwittingly. Chayav Chatos, he is guilty or obligated to bring a sin offering. Shogag b'mai, when we speak about his being unwitting, unknowing, with regard to what was he not knowing? So we will see that Shitas Munbaz is such that he's mechayev af, he's mechayev meaning a korban, a sin offering, a korban chatos, af shohoyo loy yidiyo b'shas maisa. Even though he knew what he was doing, he knew that he was committing an offense at the time he was committing the offense, he knew it. So how can Munbaz call him a shogeg? What was he a shogeg in? So Munbaz will tell us, shogag bekorban. He was unaware that the offense could lead to the bringing of a sin offering. So the lack of awareness that this is a sin that entails a korban chatos is enough to make the person shogeg. So that even though he knows that what he's doing has with it a Torah prohibition, the Torah says don't do this, and you do it anyway, you can still be called shogeg because you're not aware that there is a korban. So unawareness of having to bring a korban makes you a shogeg. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, they disagree with Munbaz. They will tell you that shigigas korban, the lack of knowledge that the sin generates a korban, is not called lacking of knowledge. So that if you know that what you're doing is prohibited by the Torah, and all that you don't know is that it has a korban accompanying it, you are not called a shogeg. You would be called a mazid, and we know you would not bring a sacrifice. We should just point out, maybe it's obvious, but we've mentioned this in the past, that a sacrifice, a korban chatos, a sin offering, is brought only if the violator is in a state of shgoga. So, according to the Rabbanan, who say that you are considered mazid, even though you don't know that the sin entails a korban, so what makes you considered a shogeg? So, within Shitas Rabbanan, we will see a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan will tell us that if you're shogag bekores, afagav dehezid belav, if you are unaware that the offense carries with it a kores penalty, you're called a shogeg. That means even though you may know that what you're doing is a Torah offense, it's proscribed, it's prohibited by the Torah, you're aware that there's a lav, there's a negative command, and you go ahead and do it, but you're not aware that there is a kores penalty associated with it, you're called shogeg and you'll bring a korban chatos. According to Reish Lakish, you're not going to bring a korban chatas unless you're shogag bekores ubalav. You have to lack awareness that it carries a kores penalty, and you also have to be unaware that what you're doing is prohibited by the Torah. We will notice a double underline that highlights the names of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. They are in coming to interpret the Shitas HaRabbanan. Now, as we opened, we said that the Shita of Munbaz is going to be focused upon, and we will do so with our star that you have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which indicates to look back at Samach Ches Amid Beis. So if you can do that, do it now. Back on Samach Ches Amid Beis, there's a parallel star, also to the right, to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. These stars, we try to be consistent in placing on the same side of the text when referring back to a previous Amid. So here our star was on the left-hand side, and on Samach Ches Amid Beis, the star on the left-hand side, more than halfway down, we saw Munbaz involved with in a discussion with Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva had mentioned, well, according to you, Munbaz, that wants to parallel Shogeg to Mezid, it will then stand to reason, according to you, that just like in the case of Mezid, he is aware of what he is doing at the time he is committing the offense. That's called deliberate or premeditated Mezid. So too, you, Munbaz, who wanted to compare Shogeg and Mezid, then Shogeg will also be a case of your having knowledge at the time you're committing the offense. And to that, Munbaz reacted, you know, you're right. Rabbi Akiva immediately said, well, that's not called Shogeg. That's not unwitting if you're aware of the offense at the time you're committing it. So you're a Mezid. You're not a Shogeg. But what about Munbaz? What was he thinking when he says that even if you have awareness at the time of the offense, you're called shogeg? So our Gemara, let's immediately turn to the Gemara, V'ela Munbaz, shgoge b'mai. Well, according to Munbaz, where is there a manifestation of the shgoga? Shgoga being that which is committed unwittingly. If you're saying that you have yadir, you have knowledge at the time that you are committing the offense, it would seem, like Rabbi Akiva says, that you're amazed. So what is in Munbaz's mind? The Gemara answers, Kagon Shishogag B'Korban. You know what? He knows that what he's doing is a Torah offense, and he knows that it's a sin. And yet he'll bring a Korban Chatos, because he doesn't know that this offense generates the need for a sacrifice. The Rashi across from here says, "De shogag b'korban, de yodea shechayav al zdono kores." He knows that for a deliberate commission of the offense, he could be penalized with the kores punishment. Avol eino yodea shechayav al chatos, but he doesn't know that it's an offense that carries with it the need to bring a sin offering. So, since he's not aware of the need for a korban, so he's called a shogeg. Continuing in the Gemara, The Rabbanon's response to that is Shigigas Korban Lo Shmo Shgoga. The unawareness of a Korban is not called a Shgoga until you are Shogeg, until you're unwitting regarding the offense itself. The Gemara asks, V'Rabbanon Shgoga B'mai, as far as the Rabbanon who argue with Munbaz, what is their standard of Shgoga? We just got finished saying they require one to be shogeg in the korban itself. What does that mean? Does that mean entirely they're not aware of the punishment, the kores punishment, and they're not aware of the fact that it's a negative command? Or is it enough to be unaware of the kores, even though you are aware that it is a negative command? So, two opinions. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Kivon Shishogag B'kores, at the point, at once he is unaware that it carries with it a kores penalty, even though he's aware that the Torah warns against doing this, he is nevertheless called a shogeg. He's not called shogeg until he is unaware not only of the kores, but also of the lav, the fact that it's a negative command in the Torah. Omar Rava, my time of the Rav Shimon ben Lakish, what is the basis for his opinion? Omar Kro, asher lo te'osena ve'oshem. The expression lo te'osena is a reference to the lav. And from this we learn, and of course this is in the context of bringing a sin offering, so ad shiyishgo belav vikores shebo, one won't be guilty or obligated to bring a korban chatos until he is unaware of the lav as well. By the way, this is Pasuk Chof Zayin in Perek Dalid of Vayikra, and on the side of the Gemara we've written the entire Pasuk, which reads, V'im nefesh achas techto b'shkogo me'am ha'oretz, v'asoso achas mi'mitzvus Hashem asher lo te'oseno ve'oshem. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yochanan, hai krod Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish mai ovidlei, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even if you are aware of the lav, you're nevertheless still called a shogeg, what does he do with Reish Lakish's pasuk? Answer, Miboyale Lichadisanya. He, Rabbi Yochanan, will need it for the following source. The Pasuk, Me'am Horetz, this is the Pasuk that we just cited, Pasuk Chof Zayin. Prat Lemumar. A Mumar is a person who is a deliberate offender. A person who is a deliberate offender is does not bring a sin offering. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Asher lo te'oseno ve'oshem. Hashov mi'idioso mevi korban al-shigoso. This is a reference to someone that committed an offense, and when you inform him that he committed the offense, he would react and say, oh, I wouldn't do that. So he is someone that is worthy of bringing the sacrifice. However, lo shov mi'idioso, someone who after committing the offense, though at the time might have been unaware, but upon discovery, he is not shav midoso. He says, oh, I would have done it anyway. Eino, mevi, korban al shigigoso. So he won't bring the sin offering. We won't accept it from him. He's not worthy to bring it. He doesn't have the right attitude. Tanan. As we go on in the Gemara, we're leading up to a question. And the question will be directed to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. So hence you can see at the side of the Gemara we have a long question marking, because all of this information is leading up to the question on Reish Lakish. Tanan Ovus Melochus Arboim Choser Achas. The Mishnah says on Daf Ayin Gimel, just a few Dafim from here, that the Ovos Melochus of Shabbos, the primary constructive activities that one is forbidden to do, number 39. Our boim is 40, Choser Achas minus 1, that's 39. V'havinon ba, Minyana Lomeli, and the question is asked, Minyana, the number, why do I need to be told the number? After all, the Mishnah lists each and every one of the Melochus. You can simply count them and you'll get to the number. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, Shimason, the number is a remez to tell me that if someone does each one of the molochos, he does 39 ovos molochos on Shabbos, he will be chayev to bring a separate sin offering for each one. Well, hechi mishkachas law, how could you have someone bringing multiple korbonos? Well, it would have to be bezodoin Shabbos v'shigigas melochus. It would have to be someone who is aware that it's Shabbos, but he's unaware of the melochus. Because if the person were unaware of it being Shabbos, so we wouldn't pay attention anymore to the melochus. We would simply say his shgoga is the lack of awareness of Shabbos, and one he stumbled. Over one lack of awareness, namely Shabbos. So one for one. One shkoga brings one sin offering. Therefore, to envision a case of multiple korbonos for the ovos melachos, we'd have to have someone that is aware that it's Shabbos. So for something that one is aware, one doesn't bring a sin offering, but he is unaware of these being melachos. So, Bishlamo l'Rabbi Yochanan, the Omar, Kevon Shishogag Bekores, Afalpi Shehizid Balav. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that someone is called a shogeg even if he, as long as he's unaware of the kores, though he is aware of the lav, of the negative command. In other words, you have someone that is aware that the Torah says it's usher to plant on Shabbos. He's aware that the Torah says it's usher to cook on Shabbos. He's aware that it's usher to build on Shabbos. Nevertheless, he's not aware that there is a kores penalty. So Mishkachas law, Mishkachas means we can see this case of bringing 39 chatois for having violated the Ovas Melachos Kigon, the Yoda law l'Shabbos Balav. He is someone that is aware of Shabbos being forbidden by a negative command. Before we go further, we want to glance at the Rashi, a couple lines down from here. Mishkachas law, Zodon Shabbos, Belavin. The Zodon Shabbos that we described for his awareness of Shabbos means he's aware of Shabbos being prohibited as a negative command. What Pasuk says, Lo Sase Kol Melacha. Veshigigas Melachos, his unawareness in terms of the Melachos is Bekrisus. Namely, he's not aware that they carry with it a kores penalty. The odea law l'Shabbos shehuzer al halavin oy shel kulon oy shel achas mehen. He is aware that the Torah says regarding Shabbos loy alav loy sase kol melacha. So that's what we said before. There's zodon Shabbos and shigigas melachos. And what does shigigas melachos mean? He's not aware that there is a kores penalty. Ella, the Reb Shimon ben Lakish, the Omar, according to Reish Lakish, that said that a person is categorized as a mazid. And don't forget, a mazid does not bring a sin offering. And he says that someone is categorized as a mazid, ad she yishgoig belav ubekores, until he is unaware of not only the kores, but also of the negative command aspect of Shabbos. Well, the Yoda lay l'Shabbos b'mai. We said above that you'd have to be a Zodon Shabbos. Where is there a Zodon in this case? Where is he, where he's going to be a Zodon Shabbos? Meaning, if you want to talk about someone who is bringing sacrifices, you're describing someone that is unaware of the lav, he's unaware of the kores. So, what is he aware of? Answer, Diyoda b'tchumin v'alibo de Rabbi Akiva. Tchum is a Shabbos prohibition of not going beyond a community, a settled area, more than 2,000 amas. That's tchum. According to Rabbi Akiva, that prohibition of going beyond beyond your location, your Shabbos location, of going beyond it 2,000 amas, according to Rabbi Akiva, is a Torah prohibition. So we should mention that the tchum is an area, is a violation that does not generate a sin offering under any circumstances, but it is a Torah level prohibition. So when describing this person that will bring the 39 sacrifices because he did all 39 Ovas Melachos, this is someone who is Zodon Shabbos. He's aware that Shabbos is a day that is prohibited in Tchum, but he is unaware that the Melachos of Shabbos are prohibited by a negative command, and he's also unaware that they carry with it a Kores penalty. Being that he is of that level of knowledge, that's the person, according to Reish Lakish, that will bring multiple korbanos. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, says that as long as he is unaware that Shabbos carries with it a kores penalty, he will end up being called a shogeg. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he is called a Zod on Shabbos because he is aware that Shabbos carries with it, or is presented in the Torah as a lav, as a negative command, but he is unaware of the Kores penalty. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he will nevertheless be able to, be capable or eligible to bring the sacrifices. That same case, according to Reish Lakish, would have been called a mazid, and we would not accept a korban from him. The Gemara continues, Man tana lahodeton rabbanon. Who would the author of the following be? Because we have marked Gemaras, we are able to skip a couple lines. Notice what's dashed underline. It says, "Aveni yodea shechayovin olea korban olo." A person who says he might be aware of other things, but he's not aware of the korban. The source concludes saying, "Chayav, he is obligated to bring a korban chatos." Now the source that's in the frame has no name. The Gemara is asking, who is the author of that? Who would say that lack of awareness of a korban necessity is called a shogeg, even though he has all wits about him regarding all the other aspects? So, obviously, the author of this, as the Gemara says, is Munbaz. Munbaz had said earlier that shigegas korban is called a shgoga. Now let's read the whole source. Shogag bozeh ubozeh. Someone who is unaware of it being Shabbos and unaware of the molochos of Shabbos. Zehu shogeg ha'omur b'torah. That's the classic case of a shogeg. That's the ultimate shogeg. Hezid bozeh ubozeh. Someone who is aware that it's Shabbos and he's aware of the molochos that he is doing and is aware that they are forbidden. Zuhi mezid ha'omur b'torah. That's the ultimate mazid. Shogag b'Shabbos. V'hezid b'malochos. He's unaware that today is Shabbos, but he's aware that what he's doing are malochos. O sheshogag b'malochos v'hezid b'Shabbos. Or he is aware that it's Shabbos, but he's unaware of that which he's doing is a malocha. Oy sheomar yodea ani shemalocha zu asura. Or he proclaims, I know that this is a prohibited activity, aval eini yodea shechayovin oleo korban olo, but I didn't know whether or not it generates the need to bring a korban. Chayov, he is obligated to bring a chatos, a sin offering. Come on, so the question is, who would say that? Who would say someone could express awareness that a particular activity is forbidden, but he simply is unaware of the need to bring a korban chatos, and he's still called a shogeg? Who would say that? Kimunbaz. This source is in accordance with Munbaz. Omar Abaye. Before we go on, we should note our topic heading and structural note that is on the side of the Gemara. The diamond is featured. These are Memros Shel Abaye. We have Abaye noted here and on Omid Beis also. Be'inyan Shkoga. These Memros, these comments of Abaye regard the topic of Shkoga. Be'ma Shogag. The focus of the question is, in what was he Shogeg? Shogeg indicates some type of lack of awareness. So we'll be looking at the topic of Beshvuas Bitui. Shvuas Bitui is someone swears regarding something that he may or may not have done or intends to do. For example, someone swears that he did not eat. Let's say he is lying. So he brings a korban. So we are going to want to know that what is he unaware of when swearing falsely that will make him eligible or generate the need for bringing a sacrifice. Just to repeat a point we've mentioned already many times, one doesn't bring a sacrifice unless there's an element of shgoga. So our question is going to be, what is he unaware of? And a second topic will be in the realm of truma. If a non-Kohen eats the truma tithe, if he does so knowingly, he's chayav something called misal bidei shamayim, death at the hands of heaven. It's a punishment that's less serious than a kores offense, but nevertheless, it's called misal bidei shamayim. And if he's unwitting when he eats the truma, when he's shogeg, he pays not only the principal of what he ate, the truma, which is a tithe given to a kohen, and he shouldn't be eating it, he's a non-kohen, but in addition to the principal, he pays an additional fifth, what's called a chomesh. If a person eats truma b'mezid knowingly, he does not pay the chomesh. So we are going to be interested in finding out in what aspect of truma is he shogeg that we can say he will have to bring or pay the extra fifth. And an additional aspect of the Gemara that we didn't note is that Abaye is going to make the point that Hakol Moedim, everyone is going to be in agreement with what he is about to say. And as we learn the Gemara, we're going to be interested in knowing who is the Hakol Moedim. We now turn to the Gemara Omar Abaye. Hakol Moedim Bishvuas Bitui She'ein Chayovin Oleo Korbon Ad She'ishgoig Belav Sheba. Everyone will agree that one will not be obligated to bring the sacrifice for having sworn falsely until he is in a state of Shgoga regarding the Lav, that he is unaware that the Torah warns against swearing falsely. Hakol Moedimman, who is included in this Hakol Moedim that everyone will agree, meaning that someone that previously would not have agreed here will agree. So let's just think about that for a second. Here we're saying that you're not going to be called a shogeg unless you are unaware of its lav. Apparently, we had learned earlier, and we certainly did, of someone who said that you are still considered a shogeg even if you are aware of the lav. Well, who was that? So that's the question here. Hakol Moediman, who is going to concede over here? Rabbi Yochanan. It is Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan earlier, you can see the double underline Rabbi Yochanan above, and if that's not clear enough, so you can use the little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and just glance, skim up, and you see Rabbi Yochanan said, Kevan above, he said, Kevan sheshoga b'chores afal pi shehezid b'lav. Here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you can't be hezid b'lav. You have to be unaware of the lav in order to be required or eligible to bring the sacrifice. We use the term eligible, by the way, because it's an honor or a privilege to be able to bring a sacrifice and achieve atonement. That's certainly witnessed by the fact that someone who does something in a mazid fashion, someone who is deliberate, isn't entitled to bring the atonement, the sacrifice. So we're saying that it is Rabbi Yochanan that says that Abaye is referring to in his statement of Hakol Moedim that everyone will agree that in the case of a Shuas Bitui, and a Shuas Bitui violation, in order to bring the Torah required Korban, you would have to be unaware of the negative command associated with swearing falsely. The Gemara says, well, do I really need Abaye to point this out? Pshita, that's fairly obvious. Ki ka'omer Rabbi Yochanan, when did Rabbi Yochanan say that you can be categorized as a shogeg even though you are aware of the lav? Hecho de'iko kores, that's when there is also a kores penalty. In other words, there's something else for you to be shogeg over. Aval hocha, in the case of the shuas bitui does not carry with it a kores penalty. Aval hocha, in the case of shuas bitui, deleko kores, lo. In this case, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't say that you are able to be mazid balav. If you're mazid balav, there is nothing else for you to be shogeg on. So the Gemara answers. We're in the middle of a question. The question is it not so that Abaye is telling us the obvious? The Gemara answers, no, Abaye is not telling me the obvious. Abaye is telling me something that I wouldn't have known on my own. Salka daito chamina, I would have thought without Abaye, hoyul v'chayav korban chidushu, since the chiyuv korban is a chidush in the context of the shuas bitui. How is that? The b'chola Torah kula lo ashkichon lav demaisi ole korban. In the rest of the Torah, things that are proscribed, that are restricted by a mere negative command without kores. For example, eating unkosher meat. That is a classic example of a negative command that and all other negative, simple negative commands, which simple means without kores, they don't generate the need for a sacrifice. And yet, here, v'hocha, in the case of shvuas bitui, maisi. It's an exceptional situation. You have something that's proscribed by the Torah in a lav as a negative command without kores, and yet the Torah says you have to bring a sacrifice. So that's a chiddush. It's a novel point. So I would have thought ki shogag b'korbo nami l'chayev, that in this case, that which Munbaz said in all cases, here in this case, the Rabbonon, which Rabbi Yochanan represents, would concede that Shigigas Korban is also called a Shogeg. In other words, you can have someone, this is the Havamina, without Abaye, I would have thought that someone is aware that one could still be Mezid Belav, like Rabbi Yochanan said earlier, aware that the Torah prohibits in a negative command swearing falsely, and you'll ask, well, how is it that he'll be chayav to bring a korban? Well, because he's shogeg, he's unaware that the Torah says to bring a korban over this offense. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Komash Molon Abaye, by telling us Hakol Modim, that even Rabbi Yochanan concedes that you're not called a shogeg by simply being unaware of the korban. You're called a shogeg only if you're unaware of the fact that there is a lav. Meisvei, we raise an objection from the following source. Eizehu shigigas shvuas bitui l'sho'ovar. A shvuas bitui l'sho'ovar is an example of someone who swore concerning an activity that he has done in the past. For example, someone swore, I ate. Or someone says, I ate today. And he didn't. So he swore falsely concerning a past event. So that's a shvuas bitui l'sho'ovar. She'im Omar, Yodea ani she'shvua zu asura. In other words, he knows that by swearing this, and if he turns out to be lying, he is in violation. He says, "I know that there is a lav, aval eini yodea im chayovin oleo korban olo, but I was not aware as to whether or not this offense generates a sacrifice." Chayav, he will need to bring a korban chatos. So, what are we describing here? We're describing someone who is mezid belav and shogeg b'korban, and he does bring a korban. So, you would conclude from here that the Rabbonon say that in the case of shvuas bitui, shigigas korban is called a shgaga. That is a problem for Abaye. The Gemara answers, Ha Moni Munbazi. This source is not according to the Rabbanon. This is a source according to Munbaz, and we know that Shitas Munbaz is that Shigigas Korban constitutes a Shgoga. But according to the Rabbanon, it would not be enough of a Shgoga to enable him, this person who was aware of Shvuas Bitui as being Usur, he would not be eligible, according to the Rabbanon, to bring a sacrifice. The next few lines are in parentheses, indicating that we aren't going to read it. The Omar Abaye, another comment of Abaye, and we mentioned this earlier, but we repeated on the side our no-say heading, Shgaga b'truma l'chayev choymesh, some type of unawareness with regard to truma that will generate the need for the offender to add a fifth. The Omar Abaye, Hakol Moidim Betrumo, She'ein Chayovin Olea Choymesh. Everyone will agree that a non-Kohen who eats Truma, everyone will agree he will not be chayev to bring the to pay the additional fifth ad sheyishgoig belav sheba, until he is a person that's unaware of the negative command. In other words, until you have a situation where he thinks that what he's eating is chulin and that there is no negative, he's not violating any negative command. Hakol modiman, who is everyone that's agreeing here? In other words, once again, like we said before, Hakol Moidim is an allusion to someone that under other circumstances, other cases, he would have said that even if you are mazid Balav, you still could be categorized as a shogeg. In this case, he will concede that you would have to be shogeg Balav. Well, who is that? Man, Rabbi Yochanan. That is Rabbi Yochanan. He previously had said in other cases, and we saw, of course, that even if you're mazid Balav, you could still be categorized as a shogeg because you were unaware of the kores aspect. But in the case of Truma, you're not going to be able to be categorized as a shogeg unless you're unaware of the lav. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's quite obvious. Once again, why do I need Abai to tell me this? It's obvious. Ki Omar Rabbi Yochanan, when did Rabbi Yochanan say that you can be called a shogeg, even though you're mazid balav? That's hechodiko kores. That's when you're dealing with an offense that has a kores penalty. And we can say regarding that, you are shogeg. You were unaware of the kores. Hechodoleko kores. Lo, but in an offense like the issue of truma, which doesn't have a kores penalty, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have said that you could be mazid balav. So it's obvious. What Abaye is telling me is it's obvious that everyone will agree that Rabbi Yochanan will agree that you're not going to be chayev choymish unless you are unaware of the negative command with regard to a zar eating truma. So the question is, what do I need Abaye to tell me this, that everyone concedes? The Gemara answers, Mahu detema, one without Abaye might have thought, Misa, that means Misa b'dei shemayim, which is the penalty for a zar who eats truma b'mezid, that Misa b'mkom kores omedes, that Misa is a parallel or takes the place of kores. And if someone, for example, was unaware of the Misa B'dei Shemayim, even though he was aware that he is eating Truma, which is proscribed by a negative command, he would still be Chayev Choymesh, the addition of a fifth. Komash Malon, Abaye is informing us that is not so. The fact that you were unaware of the Misa B'dei Shemayim, if you were aware of the Lav, you won't pay the Chomesh. You're not going to pay the Chomesh, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, until you are Shogeg Bilav. Rava Omar. Rava disagrees with Abaye and he says, Misa bimkom kore somedes. The Chomesh bimkom korban koi. Let's focus on the Misa for a moment. That is, Misa b'dei shemayim is in lieu of kores. And as a result of that, Rabbi Yochanan could very well tell us that one will be chayev to bring a chomesh, even though he's aware of the lav, provided he's unaware of the misa b'dei shemayim. Just like he said previously, lack of awareness of kores is grounds enough for calling someone a shogeg. The chomesh b'mkom korban koi, that would have ramifications for Shitas Munbas, for example. If someone is aware of the Lav and the Misa, but he's unaware of the Chomesh, that would be reason enough for him to pay the Chomesh. Let us continue in the Gemara. Before we go further, we have topic heading, and it reads, Hoya Mahalech ben Midbar, someone who was traveling in a desert, the Einu Yodea Imosai Shabbos, and he doesn't know when Shabbos is to come out. Eich Mone Hayomim, how should he count days? Mosai Oysa Malacha, when is he entitled to do Malachas? After all, if he doesn't know when Shabbos is, any given day might be Shabbos. We used a double underline to highlight two shitas on this topic. You have Rav Huna and Chiyo Bar Rav. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Hoya Mahalech Bamidbar V'eino Yodea Emosai Shabbos. He was walking on the road and doesn't know when Shabbos is coming. He was walking on in a desert, unaware of when Shabbos is. Someone like that should count 6 days, Moina Shisha Yomim, from the point that he became aware of his confusion, he should start counting 6 days, and on the seventh day, Umeshamer Yom Echad. So you first count from the day that you realized that you were confounded. Count 6 days, and on the seventh, and the seventh day, well, you should observe as Shabbos. Chiyo Barav Omer Mishamer Yoim Echad Umoine Shisha. Chiyo Barav says the first day, the first full day that you should observe is a day of rest. That is the first day you count as Shabbos, and then after that you count six, what you would consider weekdays. B'mai komiflugi, what's the underlying point of difference between Rav Huna and Chiyo? No, they're not just the pragmatic difference, which is obvious, but what's the underlying point? So, more sova, Rav Huna says, kibriyoso shel olam. When you're dealing with someone who's confounded, he shall follow the pattern set by the creation. What was characteristic of the creation? Briyoso shel olam. First, there were 6 weekdays, and the seventh day was Shabbos. Umor Sover Chiyo Barav says, Ke'odom Harishon, that this individual should put himself in the place of Odom Harishon. What was the case there? Odom Harishon was created on a Friday. The first full day for Odom Harishon was, in fact, Shabbos. So the first day of the counting shall be a Shabbos, and then he counts a subsequent 6 weekdays. Meisvei, we raise an objection. We have a source. Hoy mahalach b'derech v'eino yodea emos haShabbos. Someone walking on the road and realizes he doesn't know when Shabbos is going to fall out. Mishamer yoim echod l'shisha. My love, what does this imply, or what does this convey? That moina shisha u'mishamer yom echod. The language of this source would indicate that he is supposed to count 6 days, and then observe at the end of the 6 days a seventh day as Shabbos. The Gemara says, "Lo, that's not the point. In other words, that's not the conclusion one should reach from this source. Rather, Meshamer Yom Echad, like Chiyo Barav said. Instead of a question on Chiyo Barav, we turn it around and say, no, what the source is saying, you observe one day as Shabbos, Umayin Shisha, and then count afterwards 6 weekdays. The Gemara asks, one second, Ihachi. And here we have used a long question mark to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara simply to point out that this is actually two objections to the answer we just gave. The first is a linguistic objection. Ihachi, if you are saying that the source is trying to tell me the first day you should count as Shabbos, then Mishamir Yoim Echod L'Shisha, this is the existing text, it should have said Mishamir Yoim Echod Umoine Shisha Miboyale. The existing text indicates that he is first counting 6 days. It said Mishamir Yoim Echod, you observe one day L'Shisha for the 6 days that you already counted. So that the source, as it is linguistically, indicates first you count the 6 weekdays, and then you observe a Shabbos, like Rav Huna said. the Oid Tanya. And furthermore, we have an explicit Tanaic source that says as follows: he's on his way and he doesn't know when Shabbos comes out. It says here explicitly, and we've dashed underline, that's the main point. You count six, and after, on the seventh day, you observe as Shabbos. Tiyufta, dechiyo barav, tiyufta. This is a repudiation, a refutation, from a Tanaic source of chiyo barav's position. We continue in this topic of someone who is in this state of unawareness of which day it is. And we continue with the second point that we mentioned in our introduction to this section, namely, when is he to do malachas? Omar Rava, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim oyse loy k'day parnasosoy bar me'ahu yoma. Each day, he does the bare minimum to survive, except for the day that he is going to observe as Shabbos. The Gemara asks, v'ahu yoyim olemus, and that day he should die. In other words, he's not going to do anything to preserve himself. The Gemara answers, "De Ovid me'esmal shtei parnosis." The sixth day of his counting, that he is entitled to do things to preserve himself, so he'll prepare a double portion. In other words, he'll make two portions of food, one for that day and one for the next day, that he'll observe as Shabbos. The Gemara asks, "V'dilmo me'esmal Shabbos havoi?" Maybe that previous day, which we call the sixth day, that he made the double portion, that maybe that was Shabbos. Maybe in reality that was Shabbos. And then you'll have someone that was doing more than he absolutely needed. And that would be a Shabbos violation. Ela. So rather, what is one to do? Kol yoyim v'yoyim oise loy parnasosei afilu ayuyoma. Each day of the 7 days that he's counting, even the day that he's observing as Shabbos, he is to do melacha to preserve himself. The Gemara asks, "Vahu yom b'mai minkarle?" Then how is that day going to be recognizable as Shabbos? If he's doing melachas on that seventh day, just like the other 6 days, so how in what aspect is he observing it as Shabbos? Answer, b'kiddusha v'avdalta. The fact that he'll make kiddush and make havdalah is enough to commemorate or signify it as his Shabbos. Omar Rava, im hoya makir miktsas hayoim sheyotza boy. If this person who is unaware of when Shabbos is going to fall out, but he knows that he is on this journey for, he's been on this journey for 3 days. So that means that if he counts backwards 3 days, that for sure was not Shabbos. He wouldn't have left on a Shabbos. When one is in his own community, he knows what day it is just by the environment. We're talking, of course, here about someone who's out in the wilderness, and hence he lost track of time. But if this person knows that he is on this journey for 3 days, then he can also calculate that on the eighth day from that day which he departed, that on that day he can do whatever he wants, because he knows that 8 days from the day that he left, counting the first day as day 1, 2, 3, 4, etc., and once when he comes to day 8, that is the same day of the week that he left a week earlier, and hence he knows with assuredness that that is not Shabbos, and as a result, oise melacha kol hayom kulo. He is entitled on that day, that eighth day since he originally left, to do melacha all day, and not just k'day parnasos, not just the minimum needed for preservation. And which says pshita, that's a fairly obvious thing, that if you're dealing with someone that knows, he doesn't know what day it is, but he knows that he started his journey 3 days earlier, so it's clear to him that it's that on that eighth day from the time that he originally left, he is entitled to do melacha all day. The Gemara answers, what is the Chiddush of Rava? And the answer takes a few lines to develop, and we have a long answer marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to show you, we have to learn all of these lines. Mahu de Tema. I might have thought, Kevon de Shabbos lo nafik, since that day, in other words, using our original example that he knows that 3 days ago he started his journey. Again, he doesn't know what day of the week, but he knows that 3 days ago he started his journey. So he knows for sure that was not Shabbos. Bimali Shabbata Nami Lo Nofik. People wouldn't go on a journey starting on a Friday either. So he can say with assuredness that 3 days ago, I know it was not Shabbos, and I also know it wasn't Friday. V'hai, and this fellow, inami b'chamisha b'shabbat nofik, even if he happened to have started his journey on a Thursday, lishteri lei l'me'evad melacha trei yomi, we should allow this person to do melachas 2 full days. In other words, he will be able to calculate that 3 days ago it wasn't a Shabbos and it wasn't a Friday either. So he should be able to calculate then the necessary 8 days ahead of time on regarding 2 days and allow himself to do melacha 2 full days and not just the minimum requirement, because he can say about those 2 days that he certainly would those are certainly not Friday and not Shabbos. We continue in the Gemara. Komash Malon, Zimnin de Mishkach Shayarta. Sometimes people who need to go on a journey chance upon a caravan, Umikri Venofik, and they will get aboard and go even if it happens to be a Friday. Before we go further in the Gemara, we glance at the Rashi on the fourth line under the Gemara text, B'mali Shabbat Nami Lo Nofik. We were explaining what Rava's Chiddush is in allowing only 1 day to do full Malachas. We said that he's saying this in light of the fact that people would probably not start a journey on Friday either. It's not normal for people to start a journey on Friday because people are getting ready for Shabbos. So Friday is a day that you use for honoring the Shabbos and not starting journeys. Vial Cain, therefore, Kol Yoim Ches Vites Liatsioso Lishteru. Therefore, every 8th day and 9th day since he started his journey. Again, we're talking about a person that was makir miksas yom shiotzebo, which meant he knows that he started his journey 3 days ago. So he would simply go back in time in his mind 3 days and count forward from that point 8 days and 9 days. The leko lisfukinu b'shabbos. Those are days that he wouldn't have to think to be Shabbos, so that if he knows he wouldn't have left on a Friday, and certainly not on a Shabbos. So if he would count forward 8 and 9 days from his original journey, he should be allowed to do melacha 2 complete days. So we answered no, because this person might very well have started his journey on a Friday, thereby not enabling us to give him 2 days. We continue in the Gemara, Ayodea Iker Shabbos. Our Mishnah featured cases where someone will bring one korban per Shabbos, even though he did many malachas, and we've seen a case where a person will bring many korbanos. We want to know what is the source for this phenomenon of sometimes bringing only one korban for a Shabbos violation, and sometimes bringing many korbanos for a Shabbos violation. On the side of the Gemara, under our No Say heading, we've written Makoros sources l'shnei matzavim shel mechalel shabbosos harbe. We want to find sources for two scenarios of someone who violated multiple shabbosos. Be'echod chayav korban echod al kulon. In one case, we saw in the Mishnah he would be chayav one korban for all of the shabbosos. And in another case, b'sheni chayav al kol shabbos shabbos. In another case, we find him to be chayav a korban for each Shabbos. So where is there a basis in Psukim for this? The Gemara. Minoani Mili, from where do we know this? Omar of Nachman, Omar Rabo, Bar Avua, Trey Kroy Ksivi. There are two Psukim. One Pasuk says, Vishomru B'nei Yisrael Shabbos. Uksiva. Second Pasuk says, Ves Shabsosai Tishmoru. You'll notice one Pasuk is in the singular and the other Pasuk is in the plural. Ha Ketzad. How are we to make sense of this discrepancy? Answer: V'shomru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos conveys the following: Shmira achas l'Shabbosos harbe. That would mean, for our purposes, that if one is in violation, he'll bring one sacrifice, though he has violated many Shabbosos. The second pasuk there, Shabbos say Tishmiru, means Shmiro Achas L'chol Shabbos V'Shabbos, that each Shabbos is considered a separate entity, thereby generating the need for a separate korban for each Shabbos violation. Maskif Law Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok challenges what we just learned, which was presented by Rav Nachman. It's a different person. Don't confuse Rav Nachman with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok. He says, Adarabba, in looking at these psukim, I would say the opposite. Ipcha mistabra. The opposite is likely. And Rashi points out that there's no halachic difference between the approach we saw and the approach we're about to see. It's simply a difference in how to understand each one of these two psukim. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says, in looking at this psukim, I would come to a separate, an opposite conclusion. V'shomru b'nei Yisrael es haShabbos. That pasuk is Shmira achas l'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos. That each Shabbos, and Shabbos is in the singular, and it has Shmira associated with it. It means that for each Shabbos, a separate korban would be generated. V'es Shabbosai tishmoru. This plural sounding pasuk would indicate Shmira achas l'shabbosos harbe, one shmira to cover many shabbosos, which would mean one korban for many Shabbos violations. As we said, though, there is no actual difference between the two opinions, other than how to which scenario to see from which pasuk. The Gemara continues. Hayodea Shehu Shabbos. This is a reference to the Mishnah, which was the third case in the Mishnah, which spoke about someone who was aware that it is Shabbos, and he did V'osim Lochos Harbi Shabbos Harbi. The Mishnah says at the bottom of Samach Zayin Amit Beis, and he did many Melochos over many Shabbosos. But the point being here, he's aware of it being Shabbos. So the Mishnah says he's chayav for each malacha. The Gemara, Hayodea Shu Shabbos, we continue at the top of Ayin Omer Aleph. Mai Shno Reisha Umai Shno Seifa. Rashi at the top. Mai Shno Reisha. The Shigiga Shabbos Vezodah Malachas. The Reisha is the earlier part of the Mishnah where we spoke about someone who was unaware that this particular day was Shabbos. So he was Shigigas Shabbos. He was someone that knows about the principle of Shabbos, and he knows what the malachas are. He just doesn't know that today is Shabbos. That's called Shigigas Shabbos, Zod Malachas. Lo mechayav elo achas l'chol Shabbos. And the Seifa, the Zodon Shabbos, Shigigas Malachas, the Seifa, namely that was case 3 that we just referred to in the Mishnah, where he was aware that it's Shabbos, he's just unaware of these activities being Malachas, and we say regarding him, Chayav al kol Malacha Malacha. So the question is, what's the basis of this distinction? Omar Rav Safra. Notice we've numbered him as number one. This is to make us aware that there's a second approach coming up later. So Rav Safra says, Kan, in the case of Shigigas Shabbos, in other words, this is someone who's not aware that today is Shabbos. If you were to tell him, hey, buddy, you know, today is Shabbos, well, so he would stop what he's doing. So Kan miyadiyas Shabbos hu poresh. So as a result of knowing one piece of information, that it is Shabbos, he would stop. So therefore, he is chayv only one korban for all the malachas that he was doing. Because the element that he is lacking that would have made him stop is the one piece of information that it's Shabbos. V'kan, the case of the fellow who knew it was Shabbos but was unaware of the malachas, Miyadiyas Malacha Hu Poresh. If you were to tell him that all the different activities he is doing are Malachas, he would stop. In other words, the guy knows that it's Shabbos. By telling him it's Shabbos, you're not telling him anything new. He's simply unaware of the Malachas. So by telling him about the Malachas, that's what would make him stop. But that's multiple. So therefore, it's in the case of Zodan Shabbos, Shigigas Malachas brings multiple sacrifices. So according to Rav Safra, we're evaluating the piece of information that would cause him to stop what he is doing. If it's a singular piece of information, then, and namely that, hey, it is Shabbos, and that would cause him to stop, so he brings one korban. If, by just telling him it's Shabbos, that wouldn't make him stop, he says, of course it's Shabbos. In order to make him stop, you'd have to tell him about each one of the malachas that he's doing. Therefore, he would bring multiple sacrifices. Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman challenges Rav Safra and says, when you are telling someone that is unaware that it's Shabbos, and you tell him, hey, you know, it's Shabbos, what's really making him stop, though? Chlum Porosh Mishabbos Elo Mishum Malachas. The only reason he would stop by you're telling him it's Shabbos because of the malachas. So it's really the knowledge of what he's doing as a malacha is what's causing him to stop. And likewise, when you tell someone, hey buddy, what you're doing are malachas, uklum porish me malachas, telling him that he's doing malachas and watching him stop, why is he stopping? Elamishum Shabbos. It's because it's Shabbos. So the analysis that Rav Safra said that we look at what causes him to stop isn't going to be sufficient for making the distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa. Elo Omar Rav Nachman. Korban dechayev Rachmona Amai. Amai means, in this case, al ma, on what? When we say that a person needs to bring a korban, what does he bring the korban for? Ashkoga, on that which he was unaware. So you have to focus on what is this person's unawareness. Hosam, in the first case, the Reisha, Chadashkoga. He has one lack of awareness, one point he is missing, and that is the awareness of Shabbos. So that's the one piece of information that he's missing. So he brings one korban. Hachan the Seifa. The same for he knew it was Shabbos. He just didn't know that each activity he was doing constitutes a malacha. So in that case, tuva shkogos havyon. There are many examples, many situations of shkoga in that scenario, namely each malacha he was unaware. And as we said, for that which he is unaware, you bring a korban. Hence, in the Seifa, there is a need for multiple korbanos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.